Billings, former Wyoming quarterback Chris Stutzream joining us here on the program. And Chris, it's certainly a pleasure to have you on, man. What's going on? How are you doing?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. And, you know, right now I'm still in southwest Oklahoma and kind of packing up the office a little bit and getting kind of all the stuff ready to go for myself to move up on Monday.
You know, as an Oklahoma native, I'm from Pryor up in the northeastern corner. I should know where southwestern Oklahoma State is. Is that in Lawton or is that even further southwest?
No, it's actually in the western part of the state, just west of Oklahoma City and Weatherford.
Okay. I couldn't remember where the heck that college was. So yeah, it's always, the guys always get mad when a couple of Okies start talking with each other. So you know,
that's just
because
we're a lot smarter than everybody.
Yeah, it happened. Like we talked to now Texas Tech head coach Matt Wells when he was at Utah State, and I didn't realize he was from Salisaw, and it was turned into a big old conversation.
Absolutely. He's got a couple Okies on his staff.
Okay, yeah. You know, I didn't realize when we had you, I didn't realize you were a good baseball player in high school, too. You were considered the number one pitcher in the state in high school back in Lawton Ike. Do you ever think, you know, I know you chose the football path. Do you ever do the what if, or is it too much time passed on what your baseball career could have been?
You know, I was pretty set on going to play football. I was a pitcher, and when, you know, going to college to play baseball, a lot of good schools were after me and considered a lot of the schools, but at the end of the day, you know, you're only going to pitch one day and then sit the other four. And I really didn't like that. I wanted to be with the guy with the ball in my hand all the time. And so I knew probably my junior and senior year, I really wanted to pursue football.
I think it's interesting. You have not had your introductory press conference, I don't think, at Rocky Mountain College. So is this the first kind of interview you've done about this?
I actually did a couple for the TV stations in Billings.
Okay.
They called me last night, and yeah, I kind of pushed back the press conference there just to make sure I have everything in order, and you know, wanted to get up there Monday, and so we just decided on Wednesday and get everything taken care of then.
Chris, you were the OC at Rocky for a couple years prior to getting to Southwest Oklahoma State. So there was, you know, some interest level there. What ultimately was the decision behind pursuing the head coaching position there at Rocky?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. I'm very comfortable with the school, with the players especially. You know, I was part of bringing in a lot of those guys and had great relationships with those guys, and so that was important. But also that I know how everything's kind of run up there. Very excited to work with Jeff Malby, the athletic director, and Brad Nason, the vice president, and Dr. Wilmoth, the president. I know those guys. You know, they couldn't be different than what they are now in the interview or anything like that. So I know what to expect. Everything's not perfect there, but I felt like it was a really, really comfortable situation to get into. And who wouldn't want to take over a team that just won a conference championship?
I mean, to become a head coach now, this is your first, at the collegiate level, first head coaching experience. What do you think changes for you now after having been an assistant for the last few years?
Well, number one, I probably can't talk about the head coach behind his back anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But I think it's more just about instead of having an eye over the offense, of having a little bit of everything, you know, understanding a little bit more of what our defense is going to do and having a part in that and special teams. And you know, I knew the offensive players really, really well. I can't say I knew the defensive players the same way. I did know them, and I tried to be around them just as much because I knew at the end of the day I wanted to be a head coach. And so I think it's just more about having that personal relationship with everybody on the team. But I'm going to be myself, you know, and that's what I wanted to do in the interview. I didn't want to act like I was somebody different. And, you know, I'm sure I'm going to make mistakes and have to learn from them, but I've worked for some pretty good head coaches, and I have a great relationship with all of them still. And I've talked to all of them, and they've been really supportive. So I really think, you know, I've got a lot of people that can help me make this thing really great.
This might be a hard one to answer, but who is Chris Stutzream as a coach? You know, just what style do you have, and you know, adapting to today's player and all that kind of stuff. Who is Chris Stutzream, the head coach?
Well, I think that's number one, is adapting to each player. You know, I grew up in a military town in Lawton Fort Sill, so I went to school with every different type of person, and I think that was a plus for me. You know, my parents are originally from the Chicago area, so I've kind of been around, and I'm going to be very passionate. We're going to have a lot of fun. Practice is going to be tough, so that way on game day it's fun and relaxed. And I'm a firm believer that if you're doing a lot of coaching on Saturday, you didn't do a good enough job during the week. And so, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be an up-tempo offense. They were this year, and that's what I instilled 2 years ago. And so we're going to continue with that. We're going to be an attacking defense and not sit back. And at the end of the day, I know those players play extremely hard up there. They care about each other. They have a lot of fun. But I want to make it a great experience overall.
You know, going back, I tried to think back, you know, to the 10 years ago when you played at Wyoming. You know, we know you had the big arm. You only played 8 games at Wyoming, had the big arm and all that. You say you're going to bring in an up-tempo offense. Is that something you have just started? Have you been that type of coach since you've gotten into the business?
Well, actually, my first coaching gig was at an NAIA school in Iowa where we were in the triple option.
Okay.
So I've kind of, and I think that really helped me out in my coaching career to learn a different style of offense. But, you know, it's what the new day age is going to be. And we're going to run the football. I still believe in running the football. But, you know, we're going to be out of a 3 and 4 wide receiver set a lot and try to hit some quick passes but also push the ball down the field. But I think, you know, with what a lot of teams are doing nowadays, you've got to adapt to what you have. And, you know, it may be some years where we throw the ball more and some where we run it more. And we're just going to do whatever we have to do to win, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, the guys already know my system, and so I'm excited for it.
Okay. Everybody remembers Chris Stetsrum at Wyoming for the Tennessee win. How much do you remember of going to Knoxville and knocking off Big Bad Tennessee?
It was fun. You know, that was a great experience. What a great team win that we had. Unfortunately, I remember the loss 4 days later at UNLV a little bit more, just because it, you know, that one stings a little bit, and it was kind of the last straw for Coach Glenn and his staff. So I do remember that one a little bit more, but the Tennessee win was fun. You know, I can say that I have a better winning percentage than Peyton Manning at Volunteer Stadium. So it's a great memory to have, but, you know, there was a lot of great memories when I played at Wyoming. It was a great place. I miss it dearly, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. Made a lot of great friends there, and boy, what Coach Bowl and his staff has done is to, you know, bring that place back, and it's just exciting to watch those guys and how hard they play, and really the facility upgrades and everything. I mean, that's a gold mine right now, and so I'm still a fan.
I know you were only there for 2 years, having redshirted, and then, like I mentioned, played in those 8 games in 2008. What was the relationship like, though, with Coach Glenn? It seemed like it was a pretty close one. Would that be the case?
Phenomenal. I mean, he's one of the best men that I've known in my life. He's just a really caring person. I ended up working for him at South Dakota for a little bit, and just was very honored to play for him. He was a guy that you wanted to play extremely hard for every day, and he cared about you as a person. You know, you weren't just a football player. You weren't just a number. I bet if I saw him today, and I actually know this for sure, if I saw him right now, he would ask me questions about my family and remember little details and things that you know, great head coaches do. And so I've always looked up to him a lot, and I still communicate with him and people that were on his staff, and you know, just a really, really great person as a whole. His wife Michelle's the same way. His son Casey, who was our tight ends coach and director of football operations when I was there, I still communicate with him. So you know, just a really good family.
You mentioned, you know, working for Joe out in Vermilion with the University of South Dakota. You know, I know, obviously, you know, this job that you've got now, you know, you're taking over for Jason Petrino. Were you on staff with him there with the Coyotes?
Yes. So, Jason, we've known each other from Wyoming. He was the DFO when I was there my second year. And then he became the defensive coordinator at South Dakota. And right before that, he was at the University of Central Oklahoma. So I communicated with him and talked with him quite a bit, and then was on staff as at South Dakota. When I was there, I was the running backs coach, and he was the defensive coordinator. And then I left for a couple years to go back to a school in Iowa, William Penn University. And so that's how I kind of knew him, and that's the relationship we had.
So did he tell you what it kind of what it takes to be successful there at Rocky?
Yeah, and I actually saw it for 2 years every day. Jason did an outstanding job of including everybody on his staff with, you know, decisions, important decisions, and we talked about a lot of things. And I got to see, you know, he won a couple national championships at Carroll College, and, you know, just the work ethic that he brought every day, and he knew what it, you know, what it took to win a national championship. And and he's just he's a great coach, you know, great family guy, and it'll be big shoes to fill, that's for sure.
And of course, Mike Van Deese just stepped down right at Carroll not too long ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Just up the road, right? Just, you know, up the road there from Billings.
The school to the northwest of us.
Ah, yeah, there you go. It's already going, right? You can't even mention them.
That's right.
Hey, just kind of like the school down south for Wyoming, right?
I hear you. I still remember a chant that probably I shouldn't say on the radio that we used to say. But I've got a good friend, Brian Applewhite, who's our running backs coach at Wyoming, who coaches there. And you know, but it's always good when that boot's on the north side of the border.
Chris, man, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and catching up. I think the last time we probably talked to you was maybe after that Tennessee game. I don't know on this show, but it's been a long time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the head coaching gig at Rocky Mountain College. Thank you so much and good luck.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Take it easy, Chris. Bye-bye.